Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, October 25th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America, Sunday night. I'm Granton Taylor Hughes for my show, The Granton Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
That's excellent.
Pardon me?
I said, that's excellent.
Oh, that's excellent. I see. Well, I agree. It is excellent, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. See, we don't even have to tell a joke. It's just funny, right?
Right. We're just two comics.
That's true. Two comics with a serious subject. The international bankruptcy, right?
Right.
Well, the interesting thing is that bankruptcies internationally come about every 70 years. But I focus on the Geneva Convention of 1930 because we're still in a best evidence of the results of it with the money. The money is a Federal Reserve note, as a lot of people know, and for the ones that don't know, well, it is. And it's a bankrupted piece of paper or a bankrupted contract. And having said that, that's why we still need to understand that that bankruptcy still carries a lot of weight, but the other ones are sort of like subroutines of that main bankruptcy, again, happening in 1930. And people say, well, isn't that old news? Well, it would be if we didn't have to still have results left of it, remnants of that bankruptcy. And it's a huge remnant because it's the money that we use on a daily basis. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an issue to me anyway. And so therefore, having said that issue and dealing with the money in the state that it is, how do we deal with it? Well, most people aren't paying attention to it anyway because it has legal purchasing power. It's a legal entity. It's not illegal to use a Federal Reserve note. The problem is it's a debt currency. So what does that mean? Well, we constantly create a debt, but then we have deficit spending since Lord Maynard Keynes had written his treatise and then talked about it in 1945 in terms of the government going into deficit spending. At the first United Nations meeting in 1945, he gave a speech talking about deficit spending. And then I remember raising the issue a few years ago. Then Wall Street Journal did a piece on deficit spending to try to renew the viewpoint of the whole thing, because that's what we're in when we have debt money. See, so we're not, there's no surplus when the basic foundation of our medium of exchange is debt. So how can you have credit? How can we even talk about credit in the marketplace except as a ruse of ignorance on the part of everybody? They're ignoring the facts and the truth in the matter. So this show is about the truth, or as I see it, in terms of that. And that's why we bring up this point that still has evidence of it in the marketplace, in terms
Grant,
of the money that we use. Yeah, go ahead.
I apologize, but can I back up a little bit to a comment you made in the beginning? You said, in internationally, there's a bankruptcy about every 7 years. So did you mean
70
that
years.
There's
70.
70 years. Okay.
Yes,
all right.
70.
I misheard that. Okay. And that
okay.
means
that
it's not just us. It's other. I mean, it's a bankruptcy that when you said that, you meant different countries. How did you mean that?
Well, it means it's because the banking industry cannot get equilibrium because they're using a math that's flawed. That's what I'm trying to say. They come up with bank failures that outweigh the ones that are remain. You see what I mean? So these failing banks are the cause of the bankruptcy, and the reason why they fail is because they try to measure every penny, and that's just impossible. And I had pointed out to even my UK group on Sundays that in 2000 and 2001, Andrew Wiles wrote the proof on Pierre Fermi's last theorem, which is a 200-page proof that the fact that you can't measure a circle exactly. So what that meant in terms of how that goes horizontal with everything, it means you can't measure anything exactly. See, so when they try to balance the books, they don't balance. You see, and then it gets really bad after a period of several decades, and then they have to declare a bankruptcy. They have to default and start over again. See, I mean, it's kind of like the numbers become so noticeable and so flawed that nothing balances at all, so they start fresh. It's kind of like that business with the Mayan calendar ended last year, a couple of years ago, and they made a big deal about, well, it's the end of the world. Well, no, it's the end of the calendar, and you start over. You know, you're whatever the year it was, 10,000 or whatever. Well, I don't remember, and I don't care about it. I really don't. And then you start over with year one, you see? And therefore, the same idea. You start over when the train wrecks. The bridge burns down, you rebuild the bridge. See, so it's just starting over. But in terms of the money being debt, nobody's starting over because they're not paying attention to it. They don't care. See, they don't care about the deficit issues. Not at all. It's like the train moving forward, but it's not going to go into the station and crash through it because it's not Silver Street. Hey, I'm being pretty glib tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Well, that's the new nomenclature, being really glib. Casual and glib about it, being proverbial and not really caring about any sort of matters, just as long as you sound clever. Right?
Right.
to me, it's a serious issue. Because when people aren't paying attention because they're in such a big rush that they're paying the piper, so to speak, on a daily basis, constantly, and there's not an analysis of the situation. Nobody stops and reflects upon the fact that we're wielding debt on a constant basis internationally, and the deficit gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I've addressed this about every few years. I get into this mode of saying, well, what about the deficit in terms of a real deficit? And people aren't paying attention to the facts in the matter, the key variables of the matter of the money being a debt instrument. And they don't go into that. I do. I explain it thoroughly. I look at the dollar bill and explain all the details on it, but nobody wants to hear about it. They're oblivious of it. They go, oh, well, so what? You know, I got to buy my candy and my drugs and all this stuff. I have to buy all these things. And they're not concerned about it. I think it's hilarious. I really do. It's just incredibly ridiculous that we're passing around this debt of money. None of the banks are in equilibrium. We call it banking equilibrium when the accounts are balanced. None of it's been balanced since 1930. So how long has it been? 85 years, right? That the books have not been balanced. And no one cares. But they're all in default, all the banks. A person could sue a bank right now and take the bank if they were aware of what I'm talking about. They could go out and sue them all because they're all in breach of contract. They're in contract fraud. Can contract fraud breach a contract, and then the bank is yours after about a 10-year litigation. Is that insane or what?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. It is crazy, but people don't think about that. They're not aware of it, or they'd all be doing that.
Well, why aren't they paying attention? Let me ask you. Why aren't they paying attention to what's on a dollar bill? It's the same idea that people don't read contracts or legal papers, and they take it to their lawyer because they can't decipher what's in the document. They don't have the skill. Is that the answer, or is there another answer to why people don't care what's on a dollar bill? Well, I mean, the wording that's on it. Why don't they care about it?
Well, they just take it for granted. I mean, they're not told to really study it. Nobody really brings that up to them. So that's why they don't really care about it. As long as they can take it to the store and get something for that dollar, that's all they care about.
Right, and they're not really paying attention to the vehicle. It's like driving a car but not knowing how it works. You know, not knowing what a combustion engine is, and you have an auto cycle and all that business. Very few people have any idea how a car is built, right? But they still use it. Would that be a similar vein, a similar idea?
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Well, I mean, that's helpful because to me it's just amazing how ridiculous it is that we don't know more about what we're doing. And because it creates a tremendous deficit and it's not stopping. As we speak, people are spending money that causes a bigger deficit. And then people say, well, so what does that matter if we're if a government can issue deficit spending and not be in a surplus? Why does it matter? My answer to that is it causes a negative entity. It causes a heavy pall. It causes darkness. It's just negative. It's just wrong. At least be aware of the fact. See, my attitude is if you're unconsciously going about something that's completely wrong, I think there's real trouble there. I think there's a in one of my books, I wrote some science fiction books. It's called The Golden Age of Outer Space. And in the first book, they're flying this light-speed spacecraft, and then there's some turbulence and it explodes. And the answer to the whole thing was that because they didn't address the millisecond in terms of because it's where kilohertz takes place in computers, that there's a consciousness there. Okay, and kilohertz made the computer work. So there is a feeling in there. So they didn't address the milliseconds in their ETAs, their estimated time of arrivals, and there was an emotion, if you will, with the vibration of the millisecond, and it caused the atom of that level caused a turbulence, and the turbulence built up and blew up the ship. So it's very interesting how I answered the problem of turbulence. Because men and women and inventors go about their business and create things without addressing anything. You know, they just like nowadays we have all this noisy industrial complex, and all it does is grate on people's consciousness because we're biological. We're not machines. Did anybody address that fact? No. So now we're going to live and probably be destroyed by it eventually. Not for a while, but I was saying this morning how, you know, the archaeologists study ancient cultures, and they dig down in the ground, and they find different cultures and buildings and stuff in the soot. And then I'm saying, but you keep digging, maybe you have to million-mile-foot shovel and dig down there and see like 10 or 20 or even more, hundreds of civilizations stacked on top of each other, covered with sand or wiped out by tsunamis. See, so what's the point of archaeology? Oh, we discovered something more ancient than the previous one. Well, how far back can you go? 10 quintillion years? I mean, it's ridiculous. See, it's one constant state of silliness that people waste their time on and then die. You know? So, I mean, that sounds very pessimistic, right? It must be an existentialist in the market. So it's an interesting conundrum that we're oblivious of our surroundings. I mean, I'm not, but I'm just saying most people are not paying any attention. As long as everything's easy and smooth, don't make waves, they say. And I understand that. But when it's gross negativity, when it's grossly inept, I just begin to wonder sometimes. It's like driving in the street. Don't get me started. You know, what's been going on for the last 10 years? People aren't paying attention to what is known as the fast lane. There's no such thing as a fast lane now. It's all slow lanes. And people get in the left-hand side of the road. There's a two-lane highway. I mean, maybe we need to make 20-lane highways, you know, and just raise the budgets and get some more money and build them all so we can let people drive slowly in two lanes. Hey, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. But there's no money, see. That as it is, city councils can't fix the potholes in the ground over here on Walnut Street. They had chuck holes in there. They call it chuck holes in the Midwest, potholes in the East Coast, right? I'm pretty sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pothole. Yeah, they've had potholes in there for a couple of years, and they finally fixed them recently. So apparently they appropriated some money from somewhere. But they had these gigantic holes, and if you weren't looking out, your undercarriage is ripped out from your car. It helps the service station, so I suppose. All of a sudden, you're having a conversation, and the front seat, bam, and then you flatten both your tires, right? Of course, that's a hyperbole, and it's not quite that bad, but close. So there you have it. I mean, it's just scrambling for money all the time. People are always scrambling for money, and they never seem to get above it because it's one constant. It's a constant circular argument in a labor force that continues on and on and on, and without addressing the issues, and without addressing the fact we've been in this bankruptcy for a long time. It's known, people are aware of it, it's not just me. I'm just addressing the issues of what the state that it's in, state of nature that we're in reality, not the false state that we're in, like the false bankruptcies, or when I was saying earlier about credit, they talk about credit. What credit? Where is credit? What is a credit instrument? Oh, a dollar bill? Hello, it isn't. You can't prove that to me. You can call it a credit instrument. How can they call it a dollar bill credit? Oh, I can give you credit. Well, how can they do that, Gabriella? How can they do that? They say you have $100 in the bank, right? And so that means you have $100 of credit. Well, how can they say that in the same breath? How can they say that? How can the bankers say that? I realize that people are oblivious about they don't know how a car works, don't know what's written on the money, but how can the bankers say that? Isn't that just a constant state of fraud? I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty pathetic. Or they don't know either. Okay, here's a banker that doesn't know there's no credit. You see, they give out credit cards. Is that ridiculous to me. I mean, I cringe every time somebody says the word credit, or they say a credit card. Shouldn't it be they have a debit card, but they should have a debt card and a debit card. That would be really loony, wouldn't it? It would be so confusing, right? It's like in the pure common law, pure trust. In the old days, they had a trustor and a trustee. And after that, was confusing for a while. So we have a debt card and debit card. Man, that would be really a mess, wouldn't it? So what do we have, a credit card and a debit card? Where's the credit? Where is it? Let me ask you, where's the credit? Do you know where the credit is, Gabriella?
Well, it's made up. I mean, it's made up.
Okay.
It doesn't exist. So it's just really in name only.
Well, to a certain degree, you're right, because it is vaulted. But it's called a medium-term note, a 103. That's the only credit instrument that's initiated as cash. But then the bankers put it in vault. So really the vault has credit is the only solvent. Society's inside a vault. But outside that vault, we're in a bankruptcy. So there is credit behind the bankruptcy, but it's not public. It's locked up, you see, and quite literally locked up in a vault. But that's in principle, because sometimes they trade 103s, but they're not supposed to do that either. See, but they're paper instruments, so they treat them like cash in the banking world. But in reality, the one that should be traded is the MT-760. It's just series in the hundreds, 200, 300 series. And then they use certain papers that become entwined in the little processing. And then they use it as a habitual behavior. So 760 is a debt instrument that's traded because you can't trade credit. Because the credit is cash, whereas the 760 is a contract that has a year and a day validity to it. So they trade that one. But it's not a credit instrument. The 103 is the only credit instrument right now. It's not utilized in principle, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's not used as a medium of exchange. It's used as for creating currency in the marketplace. But the interior banking doesn't use currency. I mean, that's... They'll field currency, they'll store it in the vault, but then they'll send it off to Federal Reserve banks in New York right now. So they moved everything from the Fort Knox in 72, when they were going to bankrupt everything because the price of gold went up to $300, and Nixon took us off the gold price, not the gold standard. Get that straight. The gold price. So I repeat that. they took us, America had the gold price until 1972. Otherwise, there would have been another bankruptcy at that point. But Nixon was a real hero because he put America on the float throughout, like the rest of the world, in terms of turning gold into a commodity price. See, because ours was $30 an ounce, $32 an ounce, and the rest of the world went up to $300 an ounce on that particular day. And then Nixon made a call to the English prime minister and said, look, we'll release the gold price. And immediately they didn't call the gold in from New York Federal Reserve Banks. But they had moved it because England was going to take their gold and store it in England. See, that's just more proof that England controls America. Because remember, just to reiterate, and I've said this before, the independence, the Declaration of Independence, which is independence from the English leaders on the land in America, the Tory leaders, they kicked them out of America. But they didn't go out from under judicial rule of England. The proof is if you get reversed to the Supreme Court in America, you could actually appeal to Privy Council of London. But you go and find that out in England. That's where I found it years ago. I was working with some barristers in London. Right, so this information is revealed there, and some of it's revealed by me here and other people that have a certain knowledge, okay? And that it's important because it's a matter of awareness and the truth. I'm not saying it can be implemented. I'm not saying even the solvency is an issue that really can't be implemented, but we have the knowledge on how to do it, and that's the thesis. Before 2004, we didn't have a thesis. See, that was a big problem. Having no knowledge, you're in a dark age, right? That's an unknown. You're in the dark. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, obviously. You have to have knowledge. I mean, it's obvious. Obviously obvious, right?
Obviously obvious. Thank you. Well, I mean, again, we came up with a thesis, and having the knowledge, it pulled us out of a dark age. We were in a dark age for about 74 years because there was an unknown way of fixing the bankruptcy. Okay, can we implement the fix? No, because we've got to get approximate mathematics like Andrew Weil's discovery and proof that you can't measure a circle exactly. It's really ellipsis, but an elliptical is just a stretched out circle. So he proved that you cannot measure a circle exactly. That means you can't prove anything. You see what I mean? In other words, nothing is exact under the present math. And the answer is if we had an approximate mathematics that was instituted by the banks, then we could implement a solvency. But until then, which I'm not holding my breath at all, because I don't think it can happen. You see what I mean? It's just coming together to make that change and to understand what I'm talking about, we really take a lot to do that, in my opinion. I just don't think it's possible. But still, having the knowledge, having the truth that I express on this show, it's been recorded, the fix is in, at the same time, we can't implement it. And that's ironical, I understand, but we still have the thesis, but we don't have the synthesis of it. We would have an antithesis, we could have a discussion about it, and even a dracoity or an argument, a polemic or whatever you want to call it, over the issue of how to implement the fix or what the fix is. So I have a fix, and quickly it's simply just backing the Federal Reserve note with a Federal Reserve certificate or world certificate, whatever you want to call it. Not a silver certificate or gold certificate. I want to incontrovertibly and adamantine state that I am not for a gold standard. I haven't said this in a while, but I don't want a target on my back in terms of a gold standard. Because that executive order 11-1100 that Kennedy established in June 3rd, 1963, 6 months later, he had a target on him. So, see, that was allowing the institution of specie currency, which is ridiculous. It caused two world wars in 100 years. I know that's my opinion, but when you look at it closer, you can understand that if you could plunder for a specie, then you control the money, and that was what was going on. And then he didn't help that at all because he was going to institute something that for 900 years the powers that be were trying to put that into place. You see what I mean? But without a specie, the specie caused problems. bankruptcy causes big problems in terms of it doesn't work in practice. It might be a great theory, but it doesn't work in practice. Well, there's a lot of things like that that don't work in relativity, and they're high ideals that just don't work in manifestation. And that's the problem with the specie currency. It doesn't work. See, because you never have enough specie, never enough money, so now they just print paper. But you have to understand, it comes out of thin air, but we convert it into contracts that are created by the bank, and then they create the currency that way, because it has to address the issue of the fact if we've got a math that is a complete failure, and you can't really measure anything by it, you have to continually create into that loss, you see? You got to keep creating it. See, so it's not really an issue about a hierarchy becoming extremely wealthy. It's just moving on, basically, moving on in a flawed monetary system. And what have I said? Monetary system is the lowest cycle of economic cycle. Not a money cycle, but an economic cycle. Economics doesn't necessarily mean using money. It's just the movements of goods and services through society, whether it's through indirect trade, which is non-monetary, or direct trade, which is monetary. And that's the lowest level because there's never enough of the medium of exchange. It's a big issue and a big problem. And that's why we address this on the show, because it's very important to address that issue or at least know what I'm talking about in reference to the idea of being in a bankruptcy. And then it's okay because it's by default we don't have a choice because of a particular subject that's flawed, which is mathematics, collectively, not individually. Individually, is still, they call it the queen of the sciences. It still is the best individually, but collectively, it's a failure. I mean, that's ridiculous, but so be it, because I can prove it over and over again, even mathematically, because they did the proof already, as I said before. So we're getting down the last couple of minutes. Did you want to say anything or make a comment or say hello or whatever?
Yes, I'll say hello. No, I think it's good that you got into this issue because it's a very important one, and people don't know enough about it. So there's a very generalistic comment for you.
Well, that's true. But as I said before, if you don't have any idea of what you have, then you're in the dark. I mean, that's an obvious situation. So again, we have the fix. But I'm not confident of it ever being implemented. And there's a reason why. And that came out of a think tank about 3 years ago in my discussion with my UK group that they asked me if the solvency could be implemented. And we had this long discussion. And what came out of it wasn't possible because of the mathematics problem. I reiterate and explain that over and over until people really understand it. And then maybe I'll go into why math is flawed next week. And people have heard me talk about it many times, but we're getting down to the last couple of minutes, so I'll have to stall around for about a minute. Maybe I'll do a soft shoe or sing a song and not lose my day job, right?
Well, they won't be able to see you do a soft shoe. So I think that's pretty much out. They won't be able to hear it. They won't be able to see it. But I think we can blow off that time by me talking nonsense for the next few seconds. Is that any help at all?
Well, if you speak slowly, you speak very slowly. See, and then each word can last a whole second, right?
Yes. Each word will last a whole second. There you have
it. Thanks for being on the show each week. I really appreciate your input, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And also to the journeymen that come each week, and also the new people that heard me for the first time, please don't run away. Come back next week, right?
Run away.
Sometimes we have some real laughs, but we have a funny repartee, I think, that we kind of a comical fun here we have on the show. All right, so down the last few seconds, we did a good stall routine for the last 2 minutes. So we're getting used to that each week. We've done this. We've got many shows in the archive, so please avail yourself of that. Probably about 500 shows. All right, this is Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show. Thank you, everybody. See you next week, and goodbye for now.
Okay.